This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This week, I am inside Bogart's Smokehouse in Soulard. It smells really good in here. I'm with one of the co-owners, Michael Mackey. Michael, thanks for having me over. I do come to this place quite a bit, and I love the food, but I wanted to learn more about it, so I'm glad you are here to tell me. Tell me a little bit about the history. How did Bogart's come about?
Okay, my partners and ourselves, we all started over at Pappy Smokehouse, where I'm sure everybody's familiar with. We all had some different ideas that we wanted to do and experiment with. So instead of just doing another same type of barbecue spot, we thought we would expand it and just do a little bit upper scale barbecue. That's what we like to think of it as. When we started Bogart's, we introduced our pastrami, which we're real proud of. We make it right here in-house. Our ribs are glazed with an apricot syrup and then tarts brulee to the rib themselves, which just gives us an excellent finish. No sauce necessary on them. They're just unbelievable. We think it's one of the best ribs around. I'll just pat myself on the back on that one, but it's okay.
That's all right. You got to be proud of your establishment.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple other items we tried. When we first opened up, we were doing a prime rib sandwich. It was a hit with all the customers. We kept that going for, I want to say, maybe our first 5 or 6 years that we were open. As everybody knows, the price on beef. Just kind of skyrocketed. It got to the point that, we just didn't want to have to charge, 20-something dollars for a prime rib sandwich in a barbecue spot. So we did some research and we came up with our tri-tip sirloin. At the time, it was real big on the West Coast. We like to think of ourselves as the first kid on the block with it here in the Midwest. And it's turned out really well. We got a lot of good reception from it from our customers.
So you said people came over from Pappy's. When I first moved here 5 years ago to St. Louis, those were the two names that I heard. You got to try Pappy's and Bogart's. But what I didn't know was that the two of you are connected.
Yes.
So are you still owned by the same? Are the owners the same for both?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a family of restaurants.
Correct.
And there are some other restaurants in the chain as well, right?
Right. We have Daly's, which is out in Valley Park. And then we also have another Pappy's, which is in St. Peter's. We used to have Southern Fried Chicken, but once we came out of the pandemic, we tried to make a go out of it for a couple years, and we just struggled, just couldn't quite hit that sweet spot that we needed to make it profitable and be able to stay open. So, who knows? We still have that spot over by Pappy's. Who knows what'll come in the future? We're always coming up with new and fresh ideas.
So what are some of the key things about running a barbecue shop? I mean, what do you have to keep in mind? What are the priorities? What are the special things you have to make sure to be successful?
The main thing is, and it's hard on a daily basis, is to be consistent. You have to be consistent. When you have especially repeat customers or even people coming in for the first time that traveled a long ways because if they heard of how good everything is, you want to make sure that their first bite of rib or their first bite of our, you know, pit baked beans or deviled egg potato salad is spot on every time, whether it's their first time or their 99th time here, that it's always the same. And which is hard, you know, my hat goes off to our crew. You know, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to pull it off. Most of our crew, we've been here 13 years now, February, and we still have a lot of our original crew.
Oh, really? Us.
Yeah. Yeah, which I tell you what is, you know, in this industry, it's hard to say that.
Oh, really, I mean, yeah. We've heard all throughout the pandemic and afterwards about how hard it's been for restaurants and bars to find employees. I mean, to have a crew that's mostly original is unheard of.
Right.
So, but that probably speaks to the way this place is run, I'm assuming, your ownership and your partners. But on a day-to-day basis, how do you get that consistency? I mean, what do you have to say or do?
Just keeping an eye on the food at all times, the smokers. It's pretty simple. You put the meat on, you set the temperature, and then you walk away for 12 or 22 hours and come back later and hope nothing went wrong overnight. We have... We're lucky we have the smokers are on an alarm system, so if the temperature fluctuates or the smoker goes down, you know, you get that dreaded phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning, you come in and you try to fix the situation. But another big thing is determining how much food to cook for the day. I know a lot of times people get here at 2:30, we're putting a sold-out sign up, and they go, you guys say your door says you're open to 4-ish.
Right.
And well, that's why we put 4-ish, because it's 2:30 today.
Yeah.
But once we sell out of food, that's it for the day. We don't carry over any food for the next day. Barbecue, you just can't do it with barbecue.
Yeah, and I think...
People will know that you come in the next day, you serve day-old food.
Can't do it.
You just can't do it.
And barbecue, I don't know any barbecue restaurant in town that doesn't have that kind of policy where, you know, you got to get here early because we might run out.
That's
I mean,
right.
Because you're cooking for one day and that's it.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk about barbecue in general. Is this St. Louis barbecue? Is that a thing?
It's a thing. We're actually doing more of a Memphis-style barbecue. It's all dry rub. All our meats are dry rubbed, nothing sauced. The only thing that comes close to being sauced is our ribs, but that's more of a finishing glaze that we put on them. The ribs that we use are a loin back rib, which is totally different from the St. Louis style rib. The St. Louis style ribs are the sharp ribs, or spare ribs, I should say. And what they do is, on the spare ribs, they'll do a saw cut. So they're actually almost like a rectangle shape. They're a good rib, but we think our loin back ribs are better products. And that's where we go with that. Plus, on the St. Louis style, there's a lot more sauce involved with the ribs. They do the pork steaks. I know everybody's always yelling, why don't you do pork steaks? It's just not our thing to do here. It's, you know, other people do them in town. They do them great. You know, so, you know, that's which is good. You got the variety.
Yeah. No, I've learned quite a bit about barbecue in my life as a journalist. In fact, one time I hosted an hour-long talk show about barbecue. And we had callers from overseas. People are very, very serious about their barbecue, wherever you are. And people, you have to get it right in terms of which barbecue goes with which state. So you mentioned Memphis and St. Louis. I lived in North Carolina, and there are two different types of barbecue there.
Right.
There's Eastern and there's Western, and they are completely different. The Eastern has the vinegar base, which I love, and you guys have a vinegar sauce.
Right. One of my partners, Brian, is from North Carolina.
Okay.
So there's where he got some of his touch. added to the flair.
And then South Carolina is mustard-based.
Right.
So it's very specific. I mean, barbecue is a science and an art, I've come to know, and people are very passionate about it. What's your experience been like? Been with that?
Oh, I love it. You know, we get folks in from all over the country, even the world coming in. It's fun when they come in. You know, I'll get a group of guys coming in. They'll go, "We're from Texas," and first words out of my mouth is, "I'm not worried." and then we just start joking about it, and they know, you know, that their type of barbecue, the way they cook, the cuts of meat they use, it's totally different from what we use here. So we have fun with it. You know, you get people that are coming in from North Carolina or what have you, or from the West Coast. You know, it's fun. You know, that's what's neat about the barbecue family. Everybody gets along. Everybody's welcome at their table. You know, and we just have a good time with it. And that's what's so neat about being in this type of business, being in the hospitality business, but the barbecue end of it.
Well, I used to live in California. I don't remember them having a specific barbecue, do they?
They don't. I think the biggest one out there that I'm familiar with is, I think it's Phil's Barbecue.
Okay.
You know, I believe it's in, I think it's in San Diego, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
But, you know, I get the people in from California, and they're just like, please move out there.
Yeah.
We don't have anything that's anything close to this. So.
What is the biggest challenge right now running a restaurant in the economic climate we have with inflation and all that?
It's tough. I mean, you know, we deal with a lot of proteins, you know, the meat market. It fluctuates weekly. It really does. You don't know what the brisket's going to come in at on Monday. You know, they could be, they're never the same price, and they won't be going down. They're always going up. Simple things like chicken wings have more than doubled since the pandemic. And it's just paper products, everything is just skyrocketing. And we just try to keep our menus. We don't want to keep raising prices, and we just try to streamline everything the best we can. And some of it you have to pass it along to the customer, but you don't want to sticker shop them. You want them to come back.
Sure.
It's a struggle, to be honest with you. It's a struggle. Having the crew that we have makes it a lot easier because I know they're going to be here. After the pandemic, we went back to our original hours when we first opened, which was Tuesday through Saturday, 10:30 to 4-ish. Once we had opened up, and after about 3 or 4 years, we expanded. And at one point, we were open 7 days a week and opened it in the evenings. But once COVID hit and we came back, we had to more or less reinvent ourselves, work with the help that did come back. Work with the pricing that we had to face with, and go from there. So knock on wood, it's been good. Yeah,
it's good to hear. Well, I live in Soulard, but I also know, and I love the neighborhood, but I also know there have been some problems with businesses in the last few months getting broken into, and so I'm wondering if you and other owners of places here are communicating about that, or with the police.
We did. I mean, like you said, there's been some break-ins. Unfortunately, we were one of them some time back. We were lucky. Nobody was in the building. Nobody got hurt. First time in 13 years that something's happened to us. So, you know, I count it as a blessing. Not a good blessing, no. But a blessing. But talking with the other owners of bars and restaurants down there, it gets aggravating. You know, I'm not going to lie about that. It gets aggravating. But we know the situation that the city's in. They're short-staffed. The police are missing some 300 officers. So you just have to, you know, bear with them and work together and be patient. You know, you just keep going forward with it. Not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. If that's anybody, is that question. You know, and everybody I talk to here in Soulard, you know, you get aggravated, you know, you blow off some steam, and then you come back, and it's like, okay, let's do this, and we'll get through it.
Well, you guys have a great spot here. You're kind of like on this end of Soulard, the gateway into Soulard. And it's right across from the farmer's market.
Right.
That's got to be a great draw for people coming from there, walking around. And so you get a lot of foot traffic, I assume, coming in from that.
Oh, yeah. It's 9th and Lafayette. I mean, it's Lafayette Street. Constant with traffic. Anything that happens in Soulard, this is kind of the focal starting point. Mardi Gras, this is probably the biggest gathering corner in the whole neighborhood. And then as far as the market goes, Saturdays are wonderful. I mean, if you're not down here by 7 o'clock in the morning, it's hard to find a parking space.
Yeah.
Especially in the summertime.
Right.
People are down here. And they're at the market all day long. They're down all the way till 3 o'clock. And then three, you know, the late ones, they come in, they're getting the bargains because the vendors want to, you know, they want to get rid of what they have left. So you can get a good bargain.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a crate of strawberries or a case of apples or something along that line, this is definitely the place to come down and pick those up.
What I'm really impressed with whenever I come here is how quickly the food is served to people. I'm just amazed. I eat out a lot. I know a lot of places you go and you wait a long time to get your food. Is that a point of pride? Is that a point of emphasis here? Because I'm just, it's always, you don't have to wait more than 5 minutes usually.
Well, being a small dining room, you want to turn your tables as quickly as you can. But as far as, you know, we pride ourselves as, you know, making sure we acknowledge every customer when they're coming in, when they're leaving, and then the food coming out as quick as it does. It's barbecue. It's prepared. It's been prepared already.
Sure.
So it's basically, you know, plating it, making sure everything is right on the plate, and then get it to the table. You don't want it to linger too long because it's going to get cold on you fast. And people go, you know, my brisket's a little cold. You know, can you put it in the microwave? I'm like, I'll take you through a tour of the whole building. You are not going to find a microwave in here.
That's great.
So it's like, you know, you want to see our oven? I'll take them out back and show them, you know, a smoker will cook 500 pounds of meat at a time. It's our oven.
That's your big piece of equipment is the smoker that does 500 pounds?
Exactly.
Oh, wow. How about the sauces? Tell me about some of the sauces you have.
Okay, the sauces that we have, we've got the Sweet Meghan Ann. That's your typical Kansas City style, sweet and smoky. It's named after my daughter. And then we have our Mad Maddie's, which is our North Carolina vinegar sauce. It's named after Nikki's niece. At the time, she didn't have any children. So, and then we have our cranberry cayenne sauce, which was kind of an accident that we came about it. We were playing around with the Thanksgiving special, and we wanted to do a sandwich. And we were trying to make a turkey sandwich with cranberry slices of cranberry sauce on it, and then trying to get it with a little bit of heat. And the thing just all fell apart. Okay, and we were like, okay, well, we're going to eat it. So the next thing you know, it's like, you mix this up, it's like, you know what, we can make a sauce out of this. So that's how the cranberry cayenne came about.
That's an interesting combination.
We have our voodoo sauce, which is our house sauce. It's made with a smoked habanero pepper. So it's not going to light you up on fire like some of the hot sauces do. It's got a nice finish on the heat on the back end. A lot of people like to mix that with the sweet sauce. And then we're trying to bring back, when we first opened up, we had our signature sauce was Pineapple Express, which kind of goes along the theme with Bogart's. But it was a unique sauce, a pineapple base. But once the pandemic hit, we lost our provider that was making it for us. We don't make it in-house. We just go through so much of it, we have to source it out. But since then, we can't find anybody to nail the recipe the way we like it. So unfortunately, we haven't been able to bring that back yet. And we'll hope someday down the road that we'll get it back on the shelf.
Well, where does the name come from?
Bogarts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we like to, which some people would say we just kind of pulled it out of the air. If you look up Bogarts, it means not to Hulk something.
Okay.
Okay. And being one of the older owners, and Skip, one of the original owners who's retired now, Tim and I are about the same age. If you go back to the late 60s, early 70s, people used to, there was a phrase like, don't Bogart this.
Yeah.
And you know what comes next, don't Bogart this joint, as some of our shirts say.
Yeah.
But that's how we came up with the name. It's kind of a play on words. As long as the same way with the Pineapple Express barbecue sauce. You know, we got some of our rubs. One of them is Redheaded Stranger, which is a Willie Nelson song.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, we just have fun with it. Some people pick up on it. Some people like, what? You
know,
so it's fun. It's all hitting good times.
Yeah. How about the sides? Tell me about those.
Okay, our sides are sweet and sour slaw. It's a vinegar-based slaw, which is good. That vinegar kind of cleanses the palate as you're eating. Our applesauce is a chunky applesauce, which is really good. I tell people to save it for dessert.
Yeah.
Since we don't serve dessert here, I say save your applesauce for the dessert. Our two pride and joys are the deviled egg potato salad.
Yeah, that's it.
Which is unbelievable. I mean, we get raves on that all the time. And then our pit baked beans are another hit. Those will actually cook on the smoker underneath the beef briskets overnight. So they're cooking for about 13, 14 hours as the drippings from the briskets are going into them. Once they come off the smoker, then we'll add the pulled pork to them. So they've got a little heat to them. Kind of unique because the beans will vary just a little bit, the flavor profile on them, depending on how much the rub of the briskets fall off into them every day. So it might just be tweaked a little bit different every day, which makes them unique. But we get people that come in, you know, they'll buy them by the gallon during the holidays, and you know,
the beans,
and put them out on their table, and it's like, you know, get yourself a pat on the back. Tell people you're up all night making them.
Yeah, right. Well, Michael, is there anything else you want to mention?
I don't think so. You know, I just wanted to thank everybody for supporting us over the years. The neighborhood, all the businesses, people from all over that come in and visit us, and repeat customers. It's always good to see them. It's always good to see new faces. So support us, support the whole neighborhood.
Okay. Michael Mauke, one of the co-owners of Bogart's in Soulard at 9th and Lafayette. This place is great. It's delicious. I love the food here. And I'm going to order some right now.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.